In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And what a joyous week this is going to be. Looking forward to leaving tomorrow for the EWTN Radio Conference there in Birmingham, and looking forward to not only doing the show from there on Thursday, but also doing the retreat up at the Shrine in Hanceville, giving two talks there, one in the morning and one in the afternoon on Wednesday, and then doing the show on Thursday, as well as being on Ave Maria live with Dr. Marcus there, and then doing Catholic Answers Live after that. So, yeah, lots of radio coming up this week. And then off to the men's conference in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And they're expecting somewhere around 500 guys or more. So looking forward to that as well. And speaking of guys, I went to confession this morning. I usually go on the 18th. But I wanted to make sure I was ready before the radio conference and the men's conference. I got a lot of things coming up, so I want to make sure I'm in the right heart space. And so, again, this was great. I went to my usual spot where Father Brian Milady lives at the Dominican Priory in Portland, Holy Rosary. And there are eight. Wait, what? I didn't count. Somewhere like 15 guys. 15 to 18 guys in line, all men. I love that. The same thing happened last time. I don't know if I'm choosing to go on Men's Day for confession at Holy Rosary. I'm not sure. But it's so great to see men, you know, that know they need to go to confession. And because usually, you know, there's more women than men, or it's mixed, you know. But this was just all just solid, you know, group of men, including a priest again. In fact, the first person in line was a priest and his cleric. So that's awesome, 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 awesome. And so I want to encourage you, everyone out there, to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. If you haven't been in a while, go. You know, it's always good to go. I go every month, regardless. I have an alarm on my phone. I have it through the through reminders on my phone. And, you know, every month it, doop, 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 you know, that alarm goes off and reminds you, gotta go to confession. And like I said, I have it set for the 18th of every month. But in certain circumstances, like before I go overseas or on a speaking tour, or before I go on pilgrimage, or before, again, a week like this one, where it's a very busy, crowded week, lots of great things going on. I will, again, make sure that mind, heart, soul, everything's in sync. So I went to confession today and just had a wonderful experience. Great confessor, that priest, Dominican priest there. I don't know him because they just recently got a new set of priests, because they do rotate people through the priory there. So I didn't know this priest, but he's very, very good. And did a great penance, and just walked out of the church just like, yes, ready for the week and ready for the challenges that life is going to throw my way and our way, right? So we really need to be strengthened by the Eucharist, right? Being fed and nourished by the body, blood, soul, divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and also with the Sacrament of Reconciliation, to empty ourselves of all the things that separate us from God's love, so that God can fill us with his life, right? That's really what it's all about. So if you haven't been, I encourage you. In fact, I can't encourage you enough to go and receive that beautiful sacrament of God's grace and love and mercy. Well, today we're going to talk about praying for your enemies. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, you know, with everything going on, with the wars going on with Ukraine and Russia and in the Middle East. And, you know, things seem to be escalating in Asia, other parts of the world as well. And it got me thinking, you know, there's so much war, talk of war and division. But how often do we pray for our enemies? Pray for people that we don't like. Pray for people that get on our last nerve. Pray for people that hurt us, that persecute us, that slander us, which has happened to me. You know, how do you pray? I mean, I gave a talk this past weekend in Medford, Oregon, which was awesome. I had an amazing time down there. I just want to, again, thank Earl and Deacon Vo and all the folks that made me feel so welcome there. It was great. But during my talk on staying awake in the woke culture, somebody walked out, and which I knew would happen. I figured, you know, this is Oregon, right? So one, two, I thought more people than that were going to leave, but only one person walked out. And, you know, and I even knew when it was going to happen. When I addressed the transgender issue, I knew someone was going to get upset because they probably have a loved one, you know, who's struggling with their gender or family member or sibling or something. So usually, you know, that even though I spoke lovingly about our brothers and sisters who are transgendered and same-sex attracted, I spoke the truth in love. But still, you know, it's hard for people to hear. So I, that evening, I prayed for the person that walked out. I prayed for them. You know, I deaconed at the vigil mass, and I said my office, the Vespers. And during Vespers, during the prayers of the faithful that happens in the Liturgy of the Hours, during Vespers, I always pray for people specifically by name. And so obviously I didn't know who this person was, but I prayed for them. You know, that first of all, that anything that I may have said that they misunderstood, because the other 100 people that were there clearly understood what I was talking about and actually thanked me for speaking so lovingly about a difficult topic, but speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. But still, even when you do that, you know, people are going to, there's certain topics that just irk people, that just stick in their craw, as we say, you know, that just activates them, you know. So I don't do that on purpose. I don't talk about difficult things so that people can get upset. Most definitely not. And Jesus didn't either. I mean, Jesus said some difficult things that upset people, but he always spoke the truth in love. And that and emulating our Lord and Savior, that's what I try to do too. But how do you pray for people like that? I mean, we can say it, and we know that Jesus taught it, but we actually have to do it, right? So that's what we're talking about today, praying for your enemies. Of course, would love to hear from you, the Beacon of Truth family, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And don't forget, you can always email us, beacon@EWTN.com. You can even text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response. Then text your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And over this past weekend as well, our very own producer Ace McKay had a gig. a musical gig where you play drums, right? Because you can play drums, keys, and bass.
Right.
Right, but this particular one, you played drums. How'd it go?
It was good. It was a cabaret night, so it was a little bit of jazz, a little Broadway, a little pop. But the funny part, just inside speak, the drums for the room were incredibly loud. So I had to find some ways to kind of dampen without completely killing the kit. So I literally brought hand towels from home and just draped them over the cymbals, over the toms.
Oh, wow.
So not the most aesthetic look, personally, for me, I was probably the only one bothered by it. Nobody else probably even noticed. But it ended up working out perfect because I could still get just enough of a ring. I could still get just enough of a thud that it worked. You know, closed out the show with Faithfully, which is always a little nerve-wracking as a drummer because those drum fills, we all know them, very mnemonic. Like, it's as popular as the lyric itself. But it went really well. It was fun.
Journey,
was
Faithfully?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Because you got to hit that doom, doom, doom.
Yeah, of course.
Just at the right time. Yeah. So it was it was one of those
moments. And
thank
you for sending me that clip in New York State of Mind, Billy Joel's song, which was
such a great song.
Great arrangement.
Yeah. Great arrangement. It was great. It'll probably be the first of many. So maybe next time you'll have to be in town.
Awesome. Look forward to it. All right. Tomorrow, praying for your enemies today. You know, difficult but important topic. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986. Yeah.
Need a little doo-wop every now and then.
Yeah.
These are those kinds of songs that you don't hear much anymore.
Yes.
Because, you know, like it would have like talking or like, did Johnny call you last night? Well, he always calls. Like it was one of those. That's what I think of when I hear this.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, why is it that this generation of young people, they go back to the songs from the 70s and the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't even born then, right?
Yeah.
But songs from earlier, 50s and 60s, like they don't seem to gravitate to those songs. That's why I say, and I will stick by it until they put me in the ground, the 70s were the best time for music.
Mm.
And I would say in the last 100 years.
Yeah. Well, and we also saw a lot of that during the pandemic. People really did go retro in the kind of music that they listened to because it was what felt most comfortable. When everything else felt uncomfortable, it was where we gravitated to, was in our musical palette. So I love that.
Yeah, I went to dinner with with my wife and the twins last night, just to Olive Garden, you know, take advantage of that never-ending pasta thing that they're doing. And so we were playing, I was playing my playlist in the car. And Benjamin was, they were singing along. I'm like, mm-hmm. How do you know these songs?
Yeah.
Like, I've never heard them listen to these songs. Like, of course, Colleen and I knew them, but,
sure,
you know, from the 80s and stuff. And they were, like, singing along. I'm like, wow.
Well,
they're listening.
Yeah, you know? I have kids who are in musical theater. So what was my generation on the radio is now theater friendly. So they're, you know, in the halls, in the showers, and on stage singing songs from the 70s, 80s. And beyond.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, how do you know that? Oh, yeah, we're doing that in the fall musical. Great.
Excellent.
Which is funny to me. The very song that was inappropriate if we listened to in the hallway at the time that it was popular is now suddenly on stage.
Yeah.
Do you know what you're singing?
All right. Well, you listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And today we're talking about praying for your enemies, a difficult but important topic. This is a command of Jesus. You know, this is important. It's hard. And trust me when I tell you, I know it's hard. Because, you know, I find it difficult to do as well. But it's easier for me since the reconciliation with my dad. Once I was able to do that, it's been easier. It's still not easy. I don't think it'll ever be easy to pray for people that are hurting you, but that's a mandate from the Lord, Jesus himself. That we're talking about today. Would love to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, as we gear up for the radio conference, we are definitely celebrating today as Divine Mercy Radio, one of our stations, not only in English, but also Spanish in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, celebrating 9 years with EWTN. So big time shout out to Melissa and the team there at Divine Mercy Radio from all your friends at EWTN Radio.
Hopefully your kids are by now familiar with that tune. When they hear that, that means it's time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is the part of the show we break open God's Word in the Psalms that we hear at every holy sacrifice of the Mass. the wonderful Book of Sung Praises from the Old Testament, the wisdom literature. And today, we're going to continue our look at Psalm 74. So Psalm 74 is in book 3 of the Psalms, Psalms 73 to 89. Psalm 73 to 83 are by Asaph. So Asaph, it means gather. Again, it's one of the superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple. And this psalm, when we did the first seven verses, this was a psalm that was written during the time of the exile, Babylonian exile, and the attacks against Jerusalem. And so I wanted to continue with this psalm because we're talking about praying for your enemies today. And this psalm definitely speaks to that. All right, so let's start with psalm. So the prescript just says, a maskil of Asaph. So maskil means enlightened one or scholar. But again, we don't know what that meant back at the time that these psalms were written. We'll start at Psalm at verse 8. They said in their hearts. Now, this is the enemy. This is the psalmist putting words into the mouth of the enemy of Israel. They said in their hearts, we will utterly crush them. We will burn every shrine of God in the land. In other words, we're going to try and wipe you out from the face of the earth. And then in response, Asaph says, we do not see our emblems, nor is there a prophet. We have no one to tell us how long it will last. You know, very interesting, because usually when something difficult like this is happening, there's a prophet that comes in their midst and says, you know, here's what God is doing. Here's how long it's going to last. And here's what you need to do to get through it. But remember, part of the reason why this is happening, they didn't listen to the prophets. God sent them prophets to speak the truth to them. Remember, we did a whole show looking at Jeremiah chapters 42 and 43, where they said specifically, you know, they're in Babylon and they have a chance to escape to go to Egypt. And they said, what should we do? Should we stay here? Should we go to Egypt? What should we do? And Jeremiah prays to the Lord and says, well, Lord says, stay. And they said, no, we ain't going to do that. And they left, right? And so all the things they wanted to escape from, they found the war, famine, all of that, the sword, they found it in Egypt, all right? So part of this is their own doing by not listening to the Lord. And he continues in verse 10. How long, O God, is the enemy to scoff? Is the foe to insult your name forever? See, it's almost as Asaph's putting it back on God. Lord God, you see what's going on. How long are you going to let this go on? Look what they're doing to your temple. Look what they're doing to your name. Right? Why, O Lord, do you hold back your hand? Why do you keep your right hand hidden in your cloak? Right? So the right hand is the strength hand, right? The sword hand, the oath-swearing hand. Why are you holding back, Lord? Why are you not unleashing the wrath of your justice upon these people? Why? Because the Lord needs them to learn something. Sometimes we go through difficult things because the Lord needs to teach us something through that struggle. In that moment, the Lord needs to teach us. So he allows it to happen. It says not his direct will, but his permissive will allows it to happen. And sometimes we go through something difficult. It may hurt us. It's there to teach us something that will draw us even closer to him, to recognize something within ourselves that we need to deal with. You know, sometimes the way you deal with it, you have to face it head on. All right. But yet there's a hopeful tone in Asaph. Yet God is my king from time past, who bestows salvation through all the land. So he remembers what God did before for his people. And then he says to the Lord, it was you who divided the sea by your might, who shattered the heads of the monsters in the sea. So, okay, Lord, we remember what you did for us. Remember how we remember you split the Red Sea open. Our ancestors walked through dry shod, right? We saw how the armies of Israel, armies of Egypt, followed them into the waters, and the waters closed in on them, you know, wiping out our enemies. How you shattered the, again, I think he's using an analogous language here, shattered the heads of the monsters in the sea. I think that was the destruction of the Egyptian army. And just interesting, the word for monsters there is Nahash, in Hebrew, which is the same word used in Genesis chapter 2 to describe the devil, right? The snake that was in the garden, right? That's the same word there, Nahash. He continues in verse 14. It was you who crushed Leviathan's head. Another translation of Nahash could also be Leviathan, right? Very interesting. It was you who crushed Leviathan's heads and gave him as food to the beasts of the desert. It was you who opened up springs and torrents. It was you who dried up ever-flowing rivers. Like, it's almost like Asaph is reminding himself, yes, we're going through this difficulty right now. The Lord is holding back, but yet we have hope because we remember what God did for us before. Remember how God came to save us. Remember how God entered into human history, entered into our lives, entered into our existence in order to bring us to a place of plenty, out of fear, out of terror, and brought us to a place of peace, brought us to a place of joy and love. And he's asking, Lord, bring us there again.
Yeah, and while we're waiting on him to act and intervene in situations, we have to live in the peace of the last awesome thing he did in our lives. Because then it reminds us of what's coming. We can be in a thankful position of, God, thank you for what's coming. I know you're going to work just like you did when you did da-da-da-da-da, you know. And then it's that reminder because, again, we can, the waiting is the hardest part, as the song says. Yeah. You know, just sitting and waiting on him. When God? Because we know his timing is perfect. Well, that still doesn't mean that, you know, a year, a month, a day doesn't feel like forever.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. Again, now you see some of the reason why I chose to continue this. And we're not going to finish it. It's pretty long. But why I chose this particular section of Psalm 74 to continue our look at the Psalms, because this is how we, like, we talk about praying for your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we want is for God to exact justice on that person.
Right.
That they go through or experience pain or hurt or, you know, whatever we felt.
Yeah.
You know, the eye for an eye thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But Jesus turns that whole teaching on his head. We're going to look at some of those verses, actually, where Jesus specifically talks about what we're talking about today. Praying for your enemies. Yeah. But it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard just to sit back and wait for the Lord to act. And this is why Asaph, I think, is reminding himself, okay, just hang in there. Remember what the Lord did before, right? The Lord came through for us before. He'll do it again. We just have to kind of wait. But Lord, waiting is hard.
Yeah.
Waiting, because I want it to happen now, because again, we don't serve a fast food God.
But we also feel unsatisfied when it doesn't happen the way we think it should.
Yep.
When it's not our decision to make.
Yeah. Like Jonah in Nineveh, right?
Right.
He was reluctant. He got in 3 days in the belly of a whale, spat him out. He went and gave the message, and then he went up to the mountain to look down. Okay, let's see what God's going to throw down, lightning or fire, right? And that didn't happen. Why? Because the king repented.
Yeah.
Right? He put on a hair shirt and he fasted. He told everybody in the kingdom to do the same thing. And because of that sign of repentance, God relented from the punishment he was exacting. See?
Yep.
And so Jonah didn't get that satisfaction.
Yeah.
Right? But what he should have been satisfied with, God's will was done and the people turned to the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Amen. All right, we're talking about praying for your enemies today. I know it's a difficult topic. We need to break this open. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Wanted some 70s, so
yeah,
by request.
Yeah. Yeah, that early disco period, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, very much definitive this era.
I saw an interview with I had his name in my mind and it just left me. Now Rogers.
And
he was talking about how for them it was all about, we want people to dance, we want people to sing. So that's why you go back and look at the cookie cutter template of all of their songs. It always started with the chorus because they wanted to grab you and get you on the dance floor.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And the Beatles did that too. Early days, all their early pop stuff was all chorus first, then the verse. So,
yes, yeah. That's right.
Give me a good chorus.
Yeah, bring you in and keep you there.
That's right.
I love that. All right, this is Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And today we're talking about praying for your enemies, right? It's a command of Christ. We're going to go through those scriptures, and we want to hear from you. How do you pray for your enemies? Do you pray for your enemies? Do you ask God to give you the strength to be able to pray for your enemies, those who get on your last nerve, those who cut you off in traffic, those who, I know in some families, the parents are so estranged from their children that the children won't even allow the grandchildren to see their parents. I know of a family where the daughter is completely estranged from the mother. They haven't literally spoke in years. You know, how do you pray for that? That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, as you do pray, it's always great to have the rosary to pray with you. We've been doing that for over 30 years now. You can, of course, check that out every morning, 5:30 Eastern on EWTN Radio, of course, with Mother Angelica, and then continue to get her teachings throughout the day and immediately on demand when you go to EWTN.com.
All right. We're talking about praying for your enemies today. And Jose, I think he's watching on YouTube, says it's very difficult to pray for our enemies. That is true. Also, it is very hard when the enemy is in my mirror. Ooh, Jose, what?
He hit the nerve.
Woo, when the enemy is in the mirror. Wow, that's deep. That is deep. Boy, who's going to break that open? When the enemy's within yourself. You know, those things that we fight within ourselves, the temptations to cave into lust, to cave into carnal desires, to those things that if properly ordered, right, as Pope Benedict talks about in Deus Caritas Est, God is love, where eros is properly ordered to agape. So a physical, sensual, erotic love that's intrinsically connected to agape, a self-giving, self-sacrificial love, where it's not about use, it's not about pleasure, it's about gift, right? And Jesus shows us this gift on the cross, right? I mean, we're talking about praying for your enemies. Hold on, Luke chapter 23, right? Sign up verse 32. There, two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And they came to the place which is called the skull, right, Golgotha. And there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, let's take a look at this scene. Jesus is crucified, right, the most brutal death you can ever imagine. This is after being almost scourged to death. Then they hang him on the cross naked, because if you study Roman crucifixion, it even says the next line, and they cast lots to divide his garments. They took his clothes off because not only did they want to maximize the pain, they want to maximize the embarrassment. They want to strip you of every ounce of human dignity left in your body. And the people stood by watching, but the ruler scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one, right? If this is the Mashiach, let him come off that cross. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him vinegar, saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. So, okay, look, beat half to death, carried the cross, nailed to the cross, stripped of his clothes. People are mocking him. And what's Jesus doing? Praying for them. That's the model. So Jesus didn't just tell us, pray for your enemies. He led by example. Man, that's hard to do. What is Jesus first teaches? Matthew chapter 5, right on the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapter 5 through 7. He says, you have heard that it was said to the men of old, you shall not kill. Whoever kills shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool shall be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and this is where the sign of peace comes from, by the way. This is the biblical verse that why we do the sign of peace, of course, which is optional in the Mass, by the way. So if you're offering your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Right, so Jesus is giving a very countercultural teaching to what they were used to hearing during his time. You know, you don't pray for your enemies like Samaritans. You don't pray for Samaritans. You know, no, you don't pray for the Romans who are ruling over you. You know, but no, this is exactly what Jesus says, right? He's showing us his heart. But so I'd like to hear, how do you pray for your enemies? As Jose said, when the enemy's in the mirror, or praying for the boss at work who's persecuting you, praying for that coworker who gets on your last nerve, pray for your children who mock you because, you know, they're away from the church, your grandkids aren't baptized, and they mock you for being stupid enough to believe in faith and believe in Jesus and God and all that stuff that can't be proven scientifically. You know, how do you pray for people that you hate or that hate you? That's what we're talking about today. Praying for your enemies, a mandate of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Jesus continues in Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist one who is evil. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your coat, give him your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Right? So again, very countercultural teaching from our Lord, right? You know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? No, because God is teaching us about reconciliation. He's teaching us about mercy. Jesus even gave it to us in the penultimate prayer, the prayer that he taught us how to pray, the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And one of the first steps to reconciliation is being able to pray for the person for your enemy, the person that you dislike. Hate is a strong word, you know, but let's just be real. That's how sometimes you feel. You hate the person. You know, you don't have anything to do. You don't even want to see them. You don't want to talk to them. How do you pray for a person like that? Sometimes you may have to pray for the strength and for the grace to be able to pray for that person. Sometimes you have to ask for the grace first so you could be a vehicle of grace to others, right?
And also the strength not to lash out on social media.
Yes.
It is the new enemy, right? It is, you know, because someone you either don't know or someone, you know, like you post something about whatever and then they have a negative against it. So immediately you feel compelled to, I'm going to blast you. And then it becomes a back and forth, and we end up misrepresenting ourselves, the Lord, making an even deeper enemy in those moments. But that's why I love there's a running joke, a meme of it, where it's the Holy Spirit that after I give a tirade that tells me to delete it and go, thumbs up, you know, because again, like, your feelings are valid, but it's not going to better the situation if you just go off on them in that moment, because again, they're reading, so they don't hear a tone. So even if you don't mean it in an angrily fashion, it could easily come across that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're talking about today. Praying for your enemies. Would love to hear from you. How do you pray for your enemies? Do you pray for your enemies? And if so, how do you do that? Because I'm sure that that's going to give people hope that are struggling with this. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Carrie is calling from Peoria, Illinois, listening on Covenant Radio. Carrie, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello. I just wanted to tell you the prayer that I would pray. Now, I'm on the radio on the app, so I'm not hearing you real well, unfortunately, and I'm going to pull over to the side of the road so that I can just hear you better.
Okay, because I can hear you great.
Okay, that's great. Now I can hear you better now that I pulled over. Anyway, the prayer that I pray, half of it was given by Jesus in an apparition. And since I follow so many different apparitions, I don't know which one it actually came from. But you might be aware of the first half of it. And then I added the second half.
Okay.
And the first half is, Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, restore our souls, hide our hearts into your most sacred heart so that we may live. And that was Jesus' part. And then I would put right after that, and all the members of our families, all whom we love, all who we do not like, and all who do not like us. And this way, I'm praying for any enemy that I may have that I'm not aware of, like people of other religions that don't like the Catholic religion is kind of an enemy, but they're brother and sister also, so we have to pray for them. And for all we do not like, well, there's some politicians I don't like, but I pray for them, pray for the salvation of their souls, because there is not one soul that is above redemption from our Lord, as long as they would ask. So I pray for them with every rosary I pray.
That's beautiful, Carrie. And thank you for sharing that prayer with us. You know, you're one of the folks that called in and kind of created kind of their own prayer. You know, we had a caller last week that also kind of wrote their own prayer and shared it with them. That's beautiful. That's beautiful, because that shows that we're reflecting on the teachings of Christ and the church and trying to incorporate that into our lives by creating a prayer that really speaks to my heart, right? To my situation, to my life. And by sharing that, that prayer now becomes a blessing in the lives of others, right? And Carrie, you're so right. Look what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6. But I say to you that you love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Right? Wow. That, I'm sure that would have been considered radical teaching back in the time of Christ. But, I mean, that is the mandate for all of us, right? Again, love your enemies with the love. Now, that doesn't mean you love their behavior. That doesn't mean you love what they did to you. But you still love them, because every single person is made in the image and likeness of God. Right? Whether it's someone we love, whether it's someone that we hate, someone that's our beloved one or someone that's our enemy, they're all made in God's image and likeness. Jesus says again, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. right? That is a beautiful teaching by the Lord, but let's be real. In real life, that's very hard to do because of the emotions and the memories and the feelings that are there. You know, that's why I often am, when I pray for someone, my enemy, someone I don't like, I usually look at a crucifix, right? I'm usually looking at a crucifix. And sometimes I'm praying for the grace to be able not just to pray for the person, but to truly mean it, right? Come on. Sometimes I just, like when my mom first asked me to pray for my dad when I was estranged from him. First of all, I told my mother no. But when I told the Yelke I'll pray for Pop, I just threw his name in at the end of my prayers. I didn't mean it. I'm just being honest. I didn't mean it. I did it because I told my mom I would. But the graces of her prayers for him, those rosaries for him for over 20 years, praying, they were divorced longer than they were married, but praying from the heart, from my mother's heart, sincerely for my dad, I think was a catalyst for his conversion ultimately. So thank you for that, Carrie. Beautiful call. Would love to hear from you. We're talking about praying for your enemies. How do you pray for people that hate you or that you don't like? You don't want to pray for them. In fact, you don't even want to see them again. You don't want to talk to them. You don't have anything to do with them. But Jesus says we are to love our enemies, pray for them, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. So we can't not do that. We have to follow Jesus. Praying for your enemies. How do you do it? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Emily is calling from just north of me in Spokane, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Emily, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Oh, thank you, Deacon. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you great.
Oh, good. Okay, well, I've discovered Romans 12, verse 9 to 21, about mutual love. Let love be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. And then in it, it also says, bless those who persecute you. Do not curse them. You know, sometimes I say, oh, my goodness, this, especially in the political arena, this person, yeah. And you want to curse them. But he says, bless them and don't curse them. And then Jesus says, in the scripture, it says, do not repay any evil for evil. So that's a wonderful line to remember. And do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. And do not try to repay, revenge is God's and he will repay us, says the Lord. So we don't have to worry about revenge when we can leave it all in the Lord's hands. And I try to remember that Jesus died for everyone that they may come to know the truth. And so, you know, I try to keep this in mind, especially I read over this again and again to remember to love.
Yeah, I love that. Romans 12, beautiful verses there, exactly. Because, you know, Paul was simply following the mandate of the Lord, you know, and this is a mandate, again, difficult, but easy if we have the love of God in our hearts and we're asking Lord to be with us in these times of difficulty. So I love that. But thank you so much for reminding. I'm going to add that to the list. Romans chapter 12. I want to focus on the words of Jesus, but this is great that St. Paul is actually living out the words of Christ in his teaching, especially here in Romans. Right. So, yeah. So for those of you listening, want to go back and look at those verses, Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. All right. We're talking about praying for your enemies today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. How do you pray for those that don't like you, that you don't like, that have hurt you? How do you pray? We have to. Jesus tells us that we must do this. Because St. Paul, following the teachings of Jesus, also mandates us to love rather than hate. How do we do that? And especially, oh boy, in this political climate, I am not a politician. I don't like politics. I can't stand politics. I don't watch anything to do with politics. But and there's especially now with the, in this election year and this election cycle, there is a lot of hate. I don't care what you believe on either side, if you will, if I can phrase it like that. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of vitriol. And that's not the spirit of Christ. That's not our faith. You know, it's funny because, you know, everyone when you see me, you know, I always wear my crucifix, my miraculous medal when I'm traveling. I can't wear clerics, so I wear my crucifix and miraculous medal. And the other day I was walking through, I think it was the Atlanta airport, and a woman saw me with the crucifix and she goes, are you praying for Trump? And I said, I'm praying for everybody. I'm praying for the former president. I'm praying for Madam Vice President. I'm praying for I'm praying for everybody. I said, and I told her no one's excluded. Jesus did not exclude anyone from his prayers, and I'm not excluding anybody from my prayers as well. And I don't think she liked that, but too bad. You know, now that again, that doesn't mean I approve of their behavior. That doesn't mean I like what they're doing or believe what they're doing. We just have to pray for them. And what are we praying for? First of all, we're praying for their conversion. We're praying that any evil actions that they do may be constrained. And we also pray that they receive the justice and the mercy, but also the justice of God as well. I think those things we need to pray for people that hate us. We're going to Simon, calling from Saskatchewan in Canada, listening on the TuneIn Radio app. Simon, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well, my friend.
Good, good. So one of the things that I do to pray for my enemies or to help myself love my enemy more is when I go to confession, I always try to mention their names or the judgments that I passed, you know, on them, so that it helps me be more conscious when I meet them in real life, or you know what I'm saying. And then also just mentioning them when I'm praying my rosary. It's a powerful prayer. It's helped me a lot to better my faith. And it's, I don't know, for some reason that prayer, it just it pushes the devil out.
Oh yeah, there's no question about it. Simon, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I tell you, the devil does not want to be around anybody that prays a rosary, because every time you pray the names of Jesus and Mary, you are kind of stabbing Satan in the heart. You know, he does not want to hear those names, right? Why? Because his name, says in Philippians, right, chapter 2, his name is above every other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend. In heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I love the beautiful simplicity of your prayer, Simon, using the rosary, but also being mindful as you're praying the rosary of the people that are your enemies. Right, that's beautiful, and we should again. I incorporate it into my Vespers or evening prayer, as it's called now. I still call it the monastic name Vespers. Like I said, during the prayers of the faithful, I specifically pray by name for certain people, and including people that hate me, that disagree with me. I pray for the people who write hate mail to me and say things, I wish you were never born. You corrupted my children's minds and think, I mean, just by preaching the beauty and truth of the Catholic faith, you know, I'm preaching by saying marriage is a man, a woman, I'm preaching hate speech. You know, I mean, it doesn't feel good to hear things like that. And, you know, so, but I pray those people that they find the truth, which is Jesus Christ, the truth that sets us free to love, that sets us free to become the person who God created us to be. Thank you so much for that call, Simon. Angeline on YouTube. To forgive and love our enemies actually brings peace in our hearts. We need God's grace to do so. Amen. Could not agree with you more. All right. Well, I hope that you are edified by today's show and that you really would start thinking twice instead of harboring hate and resentment in our hearts? Why don't we let go of that? Ask God to enter into that space to remove the hatred and replace it with love so that we can see even our enemies with the eyes and the heart of Christ. All right. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ew10.com/radio. Tomorrow, we're talking about celibacy, the beauty of that charism for our priests and religious. Again, you can listen to the show on the EWTN app. And until we are together again, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.